The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the government have been accused of dragging their feet on, a number of different issues, but most recently, laws that have been proposed that would make spiking people's drinks or sedating people with the intent to overpower them for the purpose of engaging in a sexual act a standalone offence. People might remember something made of this by various government ministers, Simon Harris, now Taoiseach, Helen McEntee. Amongst them, there was talk of much stiffer sentences as well. A bill was prepared and that bill is working its way through the Oireachtas, but working its way so slowly that the fear now is that it won't become reality before the government changes, if indeed there is a change. With me to talk about this is Mary Crilly. She's the CEO of the Sexual Violence Centre in Cork, and Jess Rowland, who has been a victim of spiking in the past. You're both very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Jess,
thank you.
Can I start with yourself? Can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, so 6 months ago in November, I was just with my brother and my cousin because my brother was home from London. And so we just went to my local pub to have, a few drinks, catch up. And then, halfway through the night, I noticed my leg, my right thigh getting, really, really, sore. And I said it to my cousin and I was like, here, my leg's really sore. And she was like, do you want to go check it out? So we went to the bathroom and I pulled down my pants and there was just a huge bruise on my leg. But, it was a gigantic bruise. But there was, I thought, I must have just knocked into a table or something, you know? So then I continued with my night and my cousin, didn't really, see anything. She didn't, think I was off or anything until, a few hours in. So it took a couple of hours for, until, visibly, I was completely unconscious. We ended up in town somehow. I was completely blacked out on a table. I couldn't wake up. I was nonverbal,
And you obviously have no memory of that part of the night.
No.
So at what point in the night does your memory just kind of fall off a cliff?
It was literally when I had left the pub. I remember being put into a taxi and then I fell asleep in the taxi and I was woken up and there was two lads in the taxi as well. I don't know who they were. And I was woken up being like, wake up, we're here now. And I just remember stumbling into, there's a nightclub in town and it's 25s. So I don't even know how I got in because I was only 18 at the time. And I just remember going in there and immediately just conking out and I lost my phone and it was a disaster.
So was there ever a point where you thought this was just the effect of alcohol or did you realize I absolutely didn't drink enough?
I definitely didn't drink enough to get in the state I was in. I didn't even think it was the last thing that I would have thought of happened. And especially because it was my leg, I'd never even heard of being spiked by a needle before,
Yeah.
So the last thing I expected was to have been spiked. I didn't think anything was off. And until the next morning when I woke up and you could literally see the puncture hole of where the needle was put in.
Wow.
Yeah. And my whole entire leg was bruised, spread all over my leg.
So that was it at that point the next morning when you saw the puncture that you thought, oh my God, somebody stuck something in my leg?
Yeah, because I have photos of it. If you look, you can literally see the puncture hole and then it's white around it. And then around the white is all bruising. So it was definitely, and I went to A&E and they told me that I was so lucky that it wasn't like a heroin needle, because if I'd been injected with heroin, that could have ruined my whole life. I could have been addicted, to heroin. I would have had to it would have just completely messed my whole life up. So they said I was so lucky that it wasn't that. But I went to A&E the next morning and they said it was too late. They couldn't identify the drug that was in me because I would have had to have gone straight after it happened.
Okay.
But I didn't know I was spiked, so I didn't go straight after.
And were there lingering effects? I'm sure there's kind of lingering emotional or psychological effects having kind of something like that happen to you. But I mean, just physically the next day.
Oh, the next day I was a mess. I had no memory of what had happened that night. I couldn't think straight for a few weeks afterwards. Whatever they had injected into me must have made my memory really bad or something, because I'd lost my phone. I didn't have a clue where I was, who I was with. I didn't have no recollection getting. I ended up in my cousin's house. Don't even know how I don't remember getting the taxi back or anything like that.
And I appreciate kind of this is an intimate question, but You know, was there a moment the next day when you kind of look down, you see the puncture wound, you realize you can't remember a lot of the night before.
Yeah.
And you kind of think to yourself, oh my God, what happened when I was blacked out?
Yeah, I woke up in my cousin's bed and when I'd pulled down my trousers and then I immediately went on, like, because my cousin said to me, she was like, that looks like you got spiked, like with a needle. I'd never heard of it before. And I straight away went onto my phone and I looked up needle spiking on Safari and it just came up with like exactly what was on my leg. And then she started showing me like videos like that was from that night. Like, do you remember this? I was like, no, don't remember anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And when you went to the hospital and they said, listen, yeah, you've been injected, something was stuck into your leg.
Yeah.
It looks like you've been spiked. I mean, was there a conversation with doctors in the hospital about going to the Gardaí? Was there a conversation about kind of a rape kit? Was there a conversation about anything like that?
Yeah.
About possible sexual assault?
Yeah, there was. They like had asked me if I thought I'd been like interfered with or anything, but I honestly didn't like have a clue. They like, I hopefully, and I'm so thankful that I don't think like I was sexually assaulted or anything like that, but like I still went and like took a morning after pill like just in case my mum wanted me to, which is just a horrible thing because like I was 18 years of age, I was going out with my brother. God,
it's an awful thing, even out. The way you just said it, I don't think.
Yeah,
like, so you still couldn't be absolutely sure.
I couldn't be absolutely sure, and they the hospital, they didn't really do much. They were just like, oh, did you like notice anything like unusual down there? I was just like, no. And like, that was kind of it then. And then there wasn't much talk of like going to the guards. And when we went to the guards, they were completely rude about it. Like, we had to go to two different Garda stations because the first girl, she was like, okay, and when did this happen? And then my mum was like, we're getting out of here. We walked out on her. She was so rude. Then we went to the next Garda station and he literally like, it was like they didn't even bring me into a room. It was like a conversation through the glass. He just picked up a random piece of paper. It was like, what were you wearing that night? And where were you? And I told him. And then he was like, okay, I'll ring you back with more information. Never got a phone call back. The pub that it happened in was actually the most helpful because they went through the CCTV and they said they found someone that like seemed to be like lurking around me and unusual. But like they asked me if like the guards can't do anything, like if they want me for them to take it further. But I was just so sick of it at this point because the guards were no help. The hospital was like not much, like nothing.
And
really
do you suspect? The hospital obviously knew you'd been injected with something. Do you suspect the guards just thought maybe, and this one kind of drank too much or something, she's having
100%.
Regrets?
Yeah, they probably just thought that I just drank too much. Yeah. Like I was so disappointed because I was so upset. It was like the day it happened, I went. I was distraught, and like they did nothing about it.
Well, Liz, I want to talk to you about kind of where you are now, kind of a few months on, in just a moment. But I mentioned Mary Crilly from the Sexual Violence Centre in Cork, who's with us as well. Mary, how unusual or otherwise is a story like Jess's?
Hi, Jess, and I'm really sorry to hear what happened to you.
Hi, thank you.
Spiking isn't unusual. Like, we have a spiking hub in the centre where a lot of people are kind of contacting us and let us know what happened and where they were spiked and that kind of thing. So we've been working on a campaign on spiking, following up from a Safe Gigs kind of campaign that we have where we go to all the festivals, you know, doing stuff, and my spiking seems to be the natural kind of follow-up, even though we were aware of it. Like, I'm in the centre 40 years now, and I remember even 30 years ago speaking about spiking, so it's been there since then. But really what we want to do is get everybody, for one, to believe it's happening, and for two, with the legislation, you know, I welcome that it's kind of stalled, because I tell you, when I saw what there was in the legislation, my stomach just dropped, and I just thought, this is undoable, this is unworkable, and this is really not
okay,
the way
to go. Explain that to me. What's the issue?
It kind of had said like that, you know, it's not an indictable offence, which it needs to be, you know, and a maximum maybe of 10 years or something. It has to be that. But it's also an offence if you are found spiking and you are going to commit a crime, like spiking to sexually assault someone. But like, a lot of people do it for a laugh. A lot of people do it to kind of set somebody up. It's not always going to have a sexual assault after. Of course, a lot of times it is. But sometimes, like, we've a lot of men coming in and young women who kind of have said they've been spiked and they weren't sexually assaulted, but they knew it was just because maybe a young guy might come across as being very kind of quiet. And then other guys, macho kind of guys, might decide we'll do something to him for the laugh. So the legislation was only concerned with, you can be charged with spiking if we can prove you are about to sexually assault someone nobody would ever get convicted.
They okay, really so the kind of the bullying version, if we'll describe it that way, that you've just that didn't have the sexual assault element of it, that would kind of fly under the legislation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what we're doing in Cork is, and I'd love Jess to hear this, like we have been looking at kind of the next step. I think A&E's kind of keep people alive. That's their role, to keep you going and to keep you alive. I think in the sexual assault treatment units, they can do tests if it's for a criminal investigation. But what we're starting to do in Cork, and we will have a pilot by the end of the year, I can guarantee you that. We came across a young woman in the UK, Michelle Frost was her name, who works in a lab. And she had been spiked the same way Jess had. And she was horrified and she tests herself because she had the capacity to do it. Realised that she has been spiked and then developed these kits, these small kind of kits that in every pub, in every venue in Norwich or wherever she is, every pub has these kits. And she works with the police because I still find we come across guards and other people who don't believe it's happening and it is happening. So we're developing it. There is special machines that can test people for up to 4 or 5 days after being spiked. One is in UCC and one is in one of the hospitals here. So we're working with the president of UCC and a couple of other people in UCC because they want it to happen. They want to be part of this pilot. There's a pub here, a venue here with 10 different pubs. He wants to pilot them. And that's what we're going to start in Cork, kind of for people like Jess who just want to know what happened. Was I spiked? You know, because other people mightn't have the bruise on their leg and they might just feel, maybe I drank too much. Maybe, you know, I didn't eat an awful lot before I went out. Maybe it's my fault. So it's a bit like, we're going to the next step and we will be testing.
Okay, that's fascinating. Lots of people getting in touch. Your guest story is terrifying. As a mother of young teenage girls, this is one of my nightmares. The world is so scary. And somebody else says, asking Jess what she was wearing is disgusting. Shame on them. Jess, it's what, 6 months on from when it happened? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I mean, has it had lingering effects beyond the physical? You know, are you kind of less comfortable when you're on a night out?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I like my teacher got me these little packets and you can like, it's like little strips and you can dip them in your drink and it'll turn like yellow if it's spiked or no, it's one or the other. It either stays red if it's okay or it turns yellow if it's, you know, so I've been using them on nights out and things like that and I've just been making sure I've been with my friends and everything, like always, because like the doctor said to me, it could have been something as small as a thumbtack. It's not necessarily like a big, huge needle, do you know? So it could literally be so easy for someone to walk past you and just, you know, stick it in your leg and you won't even feel it, do you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming in and sharing the story with us, Jess.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. Jess Rowland and Mary Crilly as well, CEO of the Sexual Violence Centre in Cork.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.